Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John McKay, how you doing over there?
You know, I just had a random Bill Engvall thought. Does it seem like it's been a lot muggier lately?
Yes. I definitely think it has. We still haven't got... I will tell you, there was one morning last week. I think it was... I felt like it must have been Thursday morning was the first morning where I thought, okay, this we might actually have summer.
Yeah,
or we might actually have a clear day. But you're right.
We had some 80s and 82s and 83s, you know, but it just feels muggy.
There's been some moisture in the air for sure. So let's get. I'm ready for my dry Tri-Cities heat.
Yes, nice and dry. 10% humidity.
Well, I will tell you that we continue. It has not been muggy in the real estate market. That is still continuing.
Busy.
To be a crazy market. However, for the first time in ages, I can't even remember when we reported this last.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call it baby steps. It's not a huge step, but our inventory has gone slightly up in May.
So we took a quarter of a step towards a balanced market.
No, not a quarter, more like an eighth.
Okay.
But we did
7/16.
We did go up. So last month we reported at the beginning of the month we had 329 active homes on the market.
Mm-hmm.
We just ran the end of May reports and our active listing inventory has increased to 372. So buyers, there's, you know, approximately 40 more homes out there for you to look at than there were a month ago.
That's better than nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. And so now we're still getting a pretty fast amount of sales happening. So mm-hmm. Our listings under contract went from 361 to 353, but that's still a really healthy pace pending wise. And average days on the market, even with the increase of the inventory, they're still the best homes selling very quickly, decreased from 24 to 23 days on the market. Scary number. I just report them, folks. I don't control them.
No.
I just
well, if you controlled everything, you wouldn't be here. You'd be living on a beach.
Yes, but
Cabo.
I will say the average sold price last month increased again to $477,000.
Wow.
Average sales price in Tri-Cities. Crazy.
Wow. Well, you know, last year, and this was some time ago, it's been within the last year, we did some stuff with our house and found out that our house is worth what?
Yeah.
I mean, it threw the roof.
And I think
that was last year.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people have that reaction. If you're, if you have questions about what it might be worth, go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message. We do CMAs for people all the time just to check in. And, you know, depending upon equity positions people have, sometimes they make a different decision. So mm-hmm. We would love to be a part of that equation. Before things get too serious, though, those were our Tri-Cities actual stats. We always like to come off with our crazy celebrity real estate story.
As long as it doesn't involve Johnny Depp and Amber Heard.
It does not. It does not.
Okay.
That, it's early in the month, McKay. I could come up with that at some point. But this one's coming out from robreport.com, coming out of California, Bolinas, California, right on the beach. A house with some serious rock and roll history hit the market for $16 million. It was built in 1920, right on the beach, 4,000 square feet.
Ooh.
It was owned by the family of Susie Tompkins, and she was the co-founder of the clothing brands Esprit and the North Face.
So
they had some money.
There's a wee bit of success there.
Some of the guests that would come over to the house and use it for jam sessions, you know, Jerry Garcia and Grace Slick. So, you know, just some rock and roll little people there.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were doing that, they were part of the design process. And they put this is pre-Hard Rock, but they put a guitar-shaped pool in the backyard of this house. So super cool to see the pictures of that. Incredible oceanfront views. If you got an extra $16 million lying around, love rock history, this is for sure the house for you, McKay.
Mm.
I'll pass. Okay. We always like to temper that with our local real estate story. Lance, what's going on in the market? What's happening out there? What does it feel like? And so I take notes throughout the week as we're going through and what happens and what's really happening in the market, and we bring that to the show. And I got to tell you, we're going to talk again, a little bit different slant on things, but because this is what is happening so much in the industry right now. And that is the biggest issues right now with real estate out there still revolve around lending right now.
Mm-hmm.
And what that looks like. And so here's the reason why. And here's a great example that I wrote down from earlier in the week. I, you know, put a new listing on the market, very busy, active that, you know, first and second day of the weekend. Getting a lot of calls from agents. Hey, we're showing it. We're an agent calls me. We're here right now.
Mm-hmm.
We love it. We're writing an offer. Oh, okay, great. Good to know. I've had a few other agents tell me they're going to write an offer as well. So fast forward, you know, 3 or 4 hours later, get an offer in. As a courtesy, want to call the other agents that said they were going to write, say, hey, I know you said you were going to write. Where's the offer? And the response on the other end of the phone is, well, we did write the offer, but while we were writing it, they called their lender back. And now the payment's too high with where the mortgage rates are right now.
Oh.
And so you're like, okay, well, I do have another offer and I'm probably getting a third. So, you know, so... But here's where people are asking me, Lance, what has the market shifted? Is it, you know, what's going on in the market? But this is a very, like, to the day, happened 3 days ago, accurate picture of what's going on in the market. So you look at that scenario now, and that happened twice on that same listing, where another agent said, gosh, I was supposed to leave town this morning. Is it still available? Clients just called me. They want me to show it to him. I go over there. I show it to him. I've been working with these people for 2 months. We've seen 10 houses. This is the best one they like. You know, I delay leaving town. On the way over there, I get a call. Mortgage payment doesn't work for him anymore.
Mm.
So there's a perfect example of where someone asked me yesterday, what's going on with the market? What does that shift look like?
So it seems like not only are we having tight availability, but...
Yep.
This is something a few months ago we weren't talking about. Oh, there's, you know, competitive offers, but now, ooh, the payment's too high.
Absolutely.
And I wasn't hearing you talk about that 6 months ago.
That was not happening even 3 months ago, way less. And so what's the difference there in the market? Well, here's the difference when we look at that scenario. We had a listing that's right in the average price point that I talked about. We had, you know, 10 showings on it.
Mm-hmm.
We had 4 clients that were going to write offers on it that all indicated that they were going to write from those 10 showings. 4 clients that all indicated they were going to write offers on it, but we only got 2. Okay. And purely due to interest rates, pricing, because now they can't afford a house that they could have afforded 3 months ago. And so that is a very accurate description of the market. A house that might have had 4 or 5 offers 3 months ago, now will only get, it might only get 2. In this real life example, it only got 2.
And that's largely because of interest rates adding
largely
that much?
Largely because of interest rates and rising average price points. Because not only have the rates gone up, You just saw me give the May price point. The average price of a home, you know, in this area has also been going up monthly. And so when you look at that, clients can't qualify as much. And then you add on to, I don't know if you've seen the news articles out there. We talked economically a month ago. I was talking about this on the show, is that people that are in that are on fixed incomes make a certain amount of money per month. As if they're looking at that budget and their gas prices have gone up and their food prices have gone up, that a large portion of our population has supplemented some of that with credit. So if your balances on your credit cards go up, you're not going to qualify for as much. Or if your balances go up to the point where they're more than, you know, the ratios needed, your credit score might go down. So we're really on like the triple whammy right now. Still selling, still in multiple offer situation. But what happens a month from now or 2 months from now if now we go from the multiple offers to just the one? Okay, and that's where then you start to see, or maybe after 5 or 6 days on the market, zero. You know, and so we're looking at that. That's when we'll really be kind of monitoring that. So we're seeing slight changes right now, but not to the extent where it's affecting pricing. So pricing is still going up from what we've been seeing. But we have small indications just showing little changes to kind of be on the lookout for. Second example that I wrote down to talk about this week on the show. Just this one is just absolutely classic. Client, we're looking and looking. Find him the perfect home. We looked at about 20 homes. Missed out on another one because the client couldn't get there fast enough to see it. We show them one, they love it, they find it, they're like, we're ready to write it up, Lance. We want to write it up. And then they make the mistake of asking me what my opinion is, McKay. Okay, so here's
what. Oh, boy.
So they say, hey, we really want this house. Like, we've looked, we've missed out on another one. What do you think it's going to take to get this done? And in an ideal situation, what would you do? So I walk them through what that looks like. I know it's going to go over ask. I think we should write $5,000 over ask. I think we should put an escalation clause up to $10,000 over ask if you're comfortable with that. And then I say to them, honestly, like, I've got in my file with you, I understand, but I would get a pre-approval letter from a local lender. They absolutely flip out on me, McKay. Flip out. And they're like, no, that's crazy. We have somebody we like from the town we were moving from. And we don't want to do that. And I said, look, I work for you. I'll write the offer the way that you want to. But you just asked me what you thought we should do to get the house.
Yes.
And so I'm telling you, like, because if that's the case, this is what I would do. Well, I think what you're doing, they say, is illegal. You're like steering us to a lender you normally work with. And I said, hold on one second right there. Number one, that is not the case. Like, I will give you the names, because it's great price, of three local lenders here in Tri-Cities that I all think, and I won't pick. You can pick from them. But I am telling you that if we're in a multiple offer situation and we are competing against four other offers, because I've been on the other side of this where I'm sitting down with my seller and we get down to two offers and we say, Agent A's offer looks great, Agent B's offer looks great. Lance, what do you think between these two?
And B is from a local lender.
Yes.
Who's going to win?
They're really close. And they might ask me, they're like, what is... what is this spaceship grasshopper mortgage? Have you ever heard of spaceship grasshopper mortgage, Lance? And I will be like, well, no, actually, I don't know that town in California. I don't know. Well, what about B's offer? Have you ever heard of, and it doesn't matter what I say, have you ever heard of First Security Bank? Have you ever heard of Homebridge? Have you ever heard of GISA? And at which point to that question,
or Yakima Federal,
I'll be like, yes, actually I have. And the last 29 loans deals we've done has gone very well. So if the client asks that question, and then the consumer is going to say, well, gosh, let me think about that. Your answer. And then they will think about it. And then I know generally how the client is going to react to that and picking that. So anyway, I ended up not writing the deal for the lady. I mean, she was mad at me. Like, she left and I was like, you know, sometimes that happens. Like, you have a difference of opinion, but I didn't write the deal with her. I mean, she really thought that something was going on there, or that, you know, my buddy was, you know, giving me, you know, an extra, you know, in our industry, they call those kickbacks, and those are illegal. And we're going to talk about that after the break. It's called RESPA, Real Estate Settlements and Procedures Act. So we're going to talk about the RESPA Act after the break that actually prevents what she thought was happening from happening. When all actuality, I feel like I'm fulfilling my agency duty to answer honestly and in my opinion, what I think it will do to help you get the house. So, interesting situation there with what that looks like and the reasoning why we are giving that advice to our buyers in that situation.
Yes.
So when we come back from the break, we're going to review a little bit about RESPA, and then we're going to talk about some government loans, FHA and VA specifically.
Right here on...
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been talking about situations that are going on with lending right now in the real estate world with offers, what's happening out in the market. So, you know, we're just seeing these very, very little signs of some small changes in the market that people should be aware of. Before we talk a little bit more about that, though, we definitely want to get to our pick three. And man, I brought you an amazing eclectic list of our pick three this week. We've put in some windshield time, McKay. I'm going to give you some outer line properties. So pick number one, man, I got to tell you, 1303 14th Street in Benton City. Ambiance Homes has done it again, released another plan, the Evergreen Floor Plan. This is a three-bedroom, two-bath, open great room concept, 1165 square feet. Located in Blacktop Estates, great subdivision out there, and coming in at $339.9. So, I mean, new construction, and we're getting down to it. I mean, this subdivision originally around 65 or so lots, and we're down to kind of where it's getting a little bit of slim pickings out there. You're down to about 15 lots to choose from because they've only been releasing us so many at a time as we've been building and going through. But as these get released, they're all selling very quickly. So if you've thought about new construction below 375, can't find it, give us a call because we only have like 15 left that we can do out there in Benton
City. Below 375.
Yeah, for brand new construction.
You're talking stampede people.
It's crazy. Now, pick number two, I'm going to hit you up, McKay, with a church. You heard me. I know. I'm going to sell you your very own church, McKay. I think you need it.
Okay.
What we've got is, and this is down in Patterson, 47808 in Patterson. And it could be a lot of things, many potential businesses that could be zoned here. It was built in 2001 near the Columbia River, right off of Highway 221. 1 acre, large corner lot, lots of parking overlooking the Columbia River. Kitchen, dining hall, two bathrooms, offices, classrooms, great building. And that's coming in, they said, sell it $299,990.
Wow.
And so I know you've seen those national real estate shows where people do cool things and repurpose buildings that were previously churches, but great, great property there. And then pick number three, and McKay, don't you buy this because you would concern me. So 205 West 5th Street in Grandview. People that own wineries, know people that have wineries, are interested in the wine business, listen up. We have been tasked with selling, and this is a historic wine processing facility. This is Chateau St. Michel's original wine processing facility. Main building, 31,000 square feet, office space, fermenting room. Redwood Tank Cellars. The Redwood Tanks are breathtaking. Like, I went up there when we were getting the listing prepared and stuff. I literally could have stayed there for days.
Wow.
Just the smell. I love that environment in that, in that wine process. And so this is coming in, this property, at $1.7 million. And if anybody's ever looked at building something similar to this, you can't even touch it. You'd probably be in that for the land and the power, much less the entire facility. So go to kenmoreteam.com. If you got any questions about that, hit us up. We would love to help you with that process. Earlier in the week, one of the things that I just wanted to talk about a little bit is because our association, the Washington Association of Realtors, some other brokers, they had put out some videos and talked a little bit about this. And when I was doing the education and going through it, I thought it was super important. And that is just to mention VA loans. When we look at VA loans, we do our stats show at the end of every year. We see that happen about 10% of the time around here. But one of the things that came up in that situation is that people felt like in such a hot real estate market, people weren't being able to use their VA loan benefits like they were before, because when they were competing against cash offers or conventional financing, there were some issues that were going on there. So it brought up a great point to me. The video was done with a broker on the west side, but it got me thinking, like, I wonder if some veterans in our local area have felt the same way. And so if that's the case, please give me a call. Go to kenmoreteam.com. We have specific team members on our team that focus on helping veterans and with the VA and the lenders that take care of this process. So this is really a benefit that was given to our veterans who, you know, as we came through the Memorial Day weekend last weekend, and I thought about this, that really have served for us and given a lot. And in 1945, it was part of what Congress passed as the Servicemen's Readjustment Act. And that's what most of us know as the GI Bill. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so what happened in this situation is there was money that was given for that, so that VA loans could be guaranteed by the federal government to help veterans getting into housing. So some requirements of that is they have to have had a minimum continuous active service from 90 days to 24 months, depending upon when the veteran served. Military personnel, the spouse of a veteran killed or missing in action, or missing or held as a POW, may also be eligible if not remarried. So you have to apply for what they call your certificate of eligibility from the VA to be able to apply for a VA loan. But it has a lot of benefits to it. So one of the big benefits of it is there is no down payment requirement.
Ooh.
So a lot of people call this, like, you know, in the past, they've called it like a 0-0 loan where there's no down payment requirement. And then if the seller contributed seller concessions, which is not likely in this market, and that's why some people have steered away from it. But if the seller contributed some concessions towards the closing cost, that's where the old school saying of 0-0 kind of came into play. Now, more likely what would happen now is that somebody might say they want to conserve their cash. They want to use their VA benefit. They want to keep their cash to maybe pay off some other debt or buy a car or buy an RV or buy a boat, something like, you know, in that situation. So they want to conserve their cash, use their VA benefits to get a zero down loan. And then buy the property that way. But they probably went through this situation where in multiple offers, they were not getting seen as a valid offer to be looked at.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that was pointed out in the video that they really felt like, and the point that they really hit home with, is they really feel like that was a huge misrepresentation on how the offer was presented to the seller in certain situations. Because let's say that a veteran did have that cash, they just didn't want to use it for the down payment for this financing, or they wanted to only use a portion of it. So, but they presented as because you have to disclose these things when you write an offer, any contingent funds, they disclosed it as their VA loan, but maybe they didn't disclose the differences in the cash balance. Like if they had to, maybe they would be willing to use the cash. That is a very different situation than, say, not being willing to. So if you have looked at using a VA loan, you're going to want to have that discussion with your agent to say, hey, look, if the VA appraisal comes back lower than the price, I've got the cash to make up the difference. Let's properly communicate that to the seller. So you could do some low appraisal addendums. You could do additional earnest money to show that you had the cash. You could even do an evidence of funds to show that you had that amount in your bank account. Too many people out there, I'm getting the feedback, is that they just got basically an offer emailed to them. The other agent, you know, say you I represent the seller. I just get an offer emailed to me. It shows up in my inbox. It says it's got VA financing. And I never even get a phone call to the, you know, from the other agent. And they're just like, hey, let me know what happens. Maybe it says that in the email, but no phone call. Well, that doesn't really quite give the whole picture of the situation.
No, it
you
doesn't.
Know, maybe the veteran, you know, has the cash available. Maybe there is extenuating circumstances that we need to know about. So I just, you know, urge people in that situation, make sure that you've spoken with your agent and they have the full financial picture of what you're willing to do. I think a lot of people in this situation think that it's just the lender maybe that needs to know that information and they shouldn't be talking with their agent about it, or they don't think it's any of their agent's business in that situation. But I just got to tell you, if that's the thinking that you have, you know, I think you need to have a serious thought about that strategy and that process. Because your agent needs to have a really good picture. Number one, we have a duty of confidentiality. We have a legal duty. When you enter into an agency relationship with me, and I'm representing you as the buyer, I think maybe a lot of people are fearful that that information will get shared with the seller. But no, you need to work with your agent, communicate with them that whole picture of what you're trying to accomplish. And that will make that process go so much better for you, because then your agent can craft a strategy that says, well, do I have your permission? Why don't I tell the seller A, B, and C, because I think it will get our offer accepted over the other two or three offers. Do I have your permission to do that? And then you can document that. And that might be something you never even thought about because you've only done this twice. You bought one house, you know, in 83, and now you're buying one now, you know, or whatever the case may be. You've only ever done that twice. Your agent that you're working with, I don't care if it's on the Kenmore team or Windermere or Coldwell, or there's amazing agents in this town. Give them a picture, your whole picture of what you're working with, so that they can craft the best strategy for you to get the house. Both you will appreciate that, your agent will, and I can tell you as an agent on the other side of the transaction with the seller, the seller will appreciate that information also and consider it.
If you go to the doctor, you don't withhold symptoms. You tell them everything.
Yeah, that's a very, very good analogy of that situation. So just know that there are some nuances out there. And I really think the other reason that I bring this up is because as the market has changed and the prices have gone up, you might see more veterans using their VA benefits to do less down because of the prices, they might have less down. So instead of doing a conventional loan to afford a house in this market, they might have to go back to using more VA loans so that they can afford a house in this market. So
yes.
I'm just kind of giving that warning shot across the bow of here's something you should be considering, because with the way the market's been going, it might be an option for you. So looking at all of those options, that's what we're spending a lot of time on. We are still out there showing a lot of property to a lot of buyers, and we are in the thick of those summer evaluations. So if you've thought about listing your house for the summer, take advantage of the market as school gets out, make those decisions for your family to move before the school year starts next year. this is the time to be talking to us. Go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message, and we will get you on the schedule for one of those free evaluations. Look forward to talking to you guys next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.